Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Brianna, she's back.
She's back. I wasn't here
of episode 132. Did you listen to that episode?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, let's play back episode 132.
Coming right up.
Okay, coming up, and then we're just going to move right
But it in. Makes it better because now I get like a fresh understanding of the heart.
There you go.
Of Mrs. Elizabeth Church.
Yo. You know, one of the things, I don't know if you get this, but I get this from people, that one of the things that they appreciated the most, the people who get to hang out at Foothills Christian Church, that they get to know more about the person that they thought they knew,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and they really appreciate that.
That's my favorite thing.
Yeah. And, you know, even if for the people who aren't from Foothills, they're all over the place, I think they probably think they know Foothills pretty dang well
yeah.
because so many of our people are there.
Yeah.
They're going to know.
And, you know, this is, there's kind of a correlation. It's kind of a math problem. So if you were like Elizabeth Church, who works at the church, you would be like Brianna Worship.
No, because I don't actually work for worship. I would be Brianna Counseling.
Brianna yeah. Counselor.
Worship right? is my volunteer position.
That's true.
But I'm there most out of anything that I ever do ever.
Yeah, and most willingly.
Considerably more.
Willingly, I love yeah. it.
And really good at it, too.
Thank you.
And you're on San Diego Worship, right? You're on a bunch
I
of
am.
Jose. People
yeah.
should just, like, stop right now and go to Spotify and
yeah.
just hit up
For
San Diego Worship.
The hundreds of people that every time I see them say, when are you going to release an album? When are you going to release an album?
I'm on this one and this one.
Please go to Spotify, Foothills Worship and San Diego Worship. And you can listen to me and all my friends.
There we go.
Over and over and over
oh,
again.
And Heart Memory. I was just listening to it today. In fact, yeah. I don't know where in time this episode's going to go, but Remnant Radio is coming to Foothills. They're there right now. I saw them there this morning. And I invited them all to come on the show.
Oh,
and they all laughed at me
oh.
and said that they were very busy doing training and they all wouldn't fit in here. They brought a truck.
We could go mobile.
Okay, we'll go there. I think, you know, I just want to do a plug since I'm doing San Diego Worship and it's really excellent worship. Am Parker says he's got more music he's releasing.
Yes, he does.
So it's coming. You know, Brianna, you and I were talking about 2026 and Matt, of course, and who we'd like to see on the show and everything. And Elizabeth has been on twice before, right?
Mm-hmm.
132, check that one out. And then as part of a panel in the beginning, I think, in the Styles.
Yeah, it was
right?
Styles.
Yeah, that was, I always go back to the first three or four episodes because that tells you the foundation of what we're trying to
yeah.
encourage and equip people to do. But since the last one, I think I probably cried like a little baby in the last interview, didn't I?
At the end.
Yeah, it was.
Well, really this is the first time that we'll be interviewing Elizabeth not as your assistant.
That's right.
That's yeah. true.
Secretly, she helps me a ton, by the way.
And I always will.
And she develops people.
But she's like, a leader of a department.
That's yeah. right. And that's what we wanted to talk about. And really, it was Brianna who was saying, hey, because of this transition that you've been in, we all agree that there's something there for people who are in similar circumstances but mm-hmm. aren't named church and working in a church. Their name is Town and Country, and they work at the Town and Country and sure. do what you do. So why don't we start there?
Yeah.
What was this? What did you transition into? What's it been like? And what the heck do you do?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So I'm no longer Kevin Miller's assistant.
Yep.
But I am now the operations director at Foothills Christian Church. I run the facilities department and kind of the maintenance department when my husband Andy's not around. So,
and just to get a picture of it, it's over 100,000 square feet.
It is.
Yes.
It is over 100,000 square feet.
And 100,000 people come every single day and make a mess.
Sure feels
that
like that.
All day and all night. What does Neil say? The lights are always on.
They are.
And somebody's
lying. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, we saw our annual calendar. When you show up in my office or her office, there's the annual calendar for what we're doing. And it's like, that's yeah. 9,000 events.
Yeah.
Who takes care of all of those?
So much. I have a great team. I have a great team of people that I work with, and they're just amazing. There's no other word. They're just amazing. And I would say most of them love the Lord. Some of them are still coming along and figuring things out, but that's kind of what our department's like, though. Mm-hmm. You know, we get to love on people who need love in that moment in time. We get to share more of Jesus with them, you know, when they work there.
It's a hidden ministry because it's much bigger than just the ministry of serving the facilities of the church.
Mm, yes.
It's an actual people ministry. Yes. And I think that's super unique.
Yeah, like, it's really true.
Yeah, and I think that, I don't know, I'm just really proud of it.
Yeah.
We've had people over the years, you know, that have come with ankle bracelets on.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people come from hard lifestyles who are in significant transitions in their life and are given opportunity and being well loved. And it's like we've talked about on other episodes about Youth Venture being life-changing. Working for Elizabeth Church is life-changing.
Yeah, it's a really cool position, I think, because, like, I was just thinking in my head, like, you get to give people a chance, which is, like, if you think about it, like, I think that that's just, I mean, even that in that statement is so cool. Like, you get to give people a chance. And it's like so many different people, single mothers, single fathers,
people have been on the show.
Yeah. People that are like, maybe that they're homeless in a sense, like addicts in a sense. And that's not to say for people that are listening, like, I hope that no one's like, what? I'm in the coffee bar and these people walking around me are like convicts. No, like the point is that, as a church, like, we should be getting in our community and we should be lifting people up and we should be taking them. And, you know, that's what Neil talks about, of like, who is in charge of changing, transforming the lives of humans? Is it, not to be political, but is it the government, or is it supposed to be given to Christians in the churches? And I think that you in your position, like, you have a potential and chance to spearhead, like, giving people a chance. And I think that when I think about Sent 315 and, like, the concept of it, it's like you're kind of like this secret ninja that literally gets to be in what it means to, like, evangelize to people. And I think that's crazy.
Elizabeth, would you give us one or two examples of it? Because I want the people to really see behind the scenes. They don't really, you know, you can see people that are smiling and and they're working hard and they have a certain quality about them, but they don't necessarily hear the story behind the person they see working behind the scenes. So you have a couple stories you can tell us?
Well, I want to piggyback off of something Brianna said, because I think it's important. When I was driving here this morning, I was thinking about, what am I going to say today? What am I going to talk about? And it's true. It's the second chance, you know? I mean, I didn't have a crazy past as some of the people that currently work for me have had, but I did have a past. You know, I was a teenage mom. I've seen domestic violence in my life. I've walked through all of the crazy things in life. And there were people in my life now that I can look back and go, wow, they gave me second and third chances. Mm-hmm. And I feel honored to be in the position that I am right now at the church, because I get to kind of be a part of that. I get to give people second and third chances and be that person that's like, you know, let me do life with you, not just come work and clean and set up tables and chairs, but let's talk about how to change your life, how to make a difference in your life. You know, we've had people work there that, you know, most recently has had some experience with the law and DUIs and going to court and having, you know, things that now that they have to walk through, you know, getting their license back, figuring out how they're going to raise their family now and having a job. And I went to court with this person, and I went, you know, before them, and I stood by them. And so I think it's more than just being their boss, but it's also showing them that the Lord's love, you know, like I'm going to be there, not just as your boss, but I'm also going to be there as a friend. Like, I'm going to try and be Jesus in your life if I can, or at least a little portion of
and
it.
And you get to answer the why. Like, I was thinking as you were talking, like, some of these people, they don't know the Lord.
Mm.
And I think, like, before getting to our church, how many of them, like, searched so hard for a way to get out of their circumstances, like, job application after job application, can't get hired. I have a past, I have a record, like, so hard. And it's like the thing that ended up saving them essentially was that random church down the street that said, like, you know what, you do have a record and a past, but we're going to hire you anyway, and we're going to help you, and we're going to, you know, and it's like, I've been telling people recently, like, the Bible says that the Lord draws us to himself, but it doesn't say how, you know, it doesn't give like stipulations of Jesus draws you to himself, but only through someone knocking on your door with a tract being like, hey, come to church, or like, you know, only through like your friend begging you, like, come to sanctuary. It can be through anything how the Lord draws you to himself, including that one facilities place at, you know, the church that hired me to be on their facilities to clean toilets on Sundays.
Yeah, he's a very creative God.
Mm-hmm.
I have another gentleman that currently works for me right now, and he was in and out of jail. I think he actually did some prison time. And now he's one of my lead workers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, during our devotionals, we do devotionals twice a day. So we get together for about 15 minutes during our shift in the morning shift. And then in the afternoon shift, we get together for about 15 minutes again for the two different different shifts of people that are there. And he brings his guitar to work, and he leads us in one worship song before we sit and do our devotional. And he's just incredible. Yeah. And you can tell that the Lord is doing big things in his life. He's restoring him from where he was, you know, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. Now he has his clean life. He's got his wife back and children back in his life. And they just got their first apartment. Like, there's just so many cool things that happen. It's amazing.
Yeah, one of the things that I see, because I get to say hi to them and really find out how they are, you know, have some conversation. I think Neil does that as well, the lead pastor. But the thing that I see are grateful people, you know, and boy, who's listening, who runs crews, runs a business, what would grateful employees be like?
Yeah.
Because things come up. Like, okay, so we had a Charlie Kirk memorial.
Yeah.
I was out of town. I missed the whole thing. But they gave us 48 hours, and we figured we were going to have 200 or 400 people show up, and 4,000 or 5,000 showed up. Within 48 hours of preparation.
Standing in the parking lot.
In the parking lot as the overflow, because our tiny little sanctuary only holds 1,700 people. And so your crew, I mean, that's an incredible amount of work that has to go, that has to happen instantaneously. Yeah. And they did it.
They did. They just went out and did, they served.
And it's because you pay them like $100 an hour, right?
Not at all. Not even close.
That's one other thing that I've seen that's been a part of what you do. And this is also crazy. Our very best workers, we try to get rid of them.
I do.
Right? So you, and church work doesn't get you rich, at least not at our church, it doesn't. And
in California, you can't even live
great.
Up with it. Yeah.
Yeah. But so we're constantly, and when we were together working on it, and you continue this, and your best people, you want to give other opportunities to. And so you're constantly seeing your best people cycle through. And some of them just refuse to go. Mm-hmm. They know they can make literally double.
Yeah.
But because of the culture and the love and the, you know, appreciation, they don't want to miss out on that. We try to convince them, you're still family, even if you don't work here. And they're going, yeah, but.
Yeah.
You know? But you take on a different role, you know, you take on a different position in the family, and that position that is very unique.
Yeah.
And it's, there's a camaraderie between them.
Yeah, there's a special.
There is, because of the like life, you know, circumstances, and to step out of that, you know, when you're not ready, maybe to step out.
Yeah, and that's true. And they need to be ready. Some of it's psychological for sure. And when you're giving people a chance, and sometimes you're also giving them a car.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're furnishing an entire apartment because they have no furniture at all.
Mm-hmm.
That just builds something that is just unimaginable. I'm reading a book right now with my hospitality staff, and it's called Unreasonable Hospitality. Great book on restaurants, a restaurant that became the best restaurant in the entire world from New York City. And that's what I see. I see what you're doing and the kind of thing that I want people to be able to translate into their work is unreasonable leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And in the sense of being like, you did what? You know, you're showing up at court and you're helping people get warrants erased from other states. I mean, like, I know
who does that?
I know these stories. Elizabeth Church does this. And this is not her retirement testimonial or anything. But what are some of the things that you've learned that, you know, or takeaways for the people that are listening going, I want a team like that. I want some of that.
So we have this running joke, and it's kind of a joke, but it's not really within my department. It's, you know, you're not going to work here longer than 5 years. 5 years is like your limit. Like, I'm firing you if you're still here in 5 years. I'm letting you go, because the purpose is not to keep them there. And it's a stepping stone. Sometimes we talk about our department as a little bit of a hospital. It's the opportunity to heal.
It's restorative.
And to become restored. And then at that point, you can take steps forward into life and share Jesus elsewhere, not just at the church, but be the light in a different department. Mm. You know, I was talking to one of my employees a couple of days ago, who was talking about he's ready to take a step out. And I just encouraged them and I said, okay, I'm going to stand by you. Let's do this. And if for some reason you step out and you're not ready yet, come back and let's talk about it. And let's see what we do after that. Like, this isn't a, once you're gone, you're gone. This is a, you're always going to be family. You're always going to, you know, always come back. You know, I might not have a job for you in that moment, but that doesn't mean we're not going to take you in and help you and figure that out and get through, you know, what does that look like in the future going forward? So, I get to do this job. I don't have to do this job. Like, it's such a privilege. I get to do this. I get to help be that voice, you know, I get to help be that push. I get to get up every morning and show up and be an example and say, hey, guys, like,
I wish you could see the smile on Elizabeth.
Yeah, it's a glow. We'll get a picture of this, right?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, too, because, like, I know that in your previous job, you worked for the county, right? Mm-hmm. And when you work for the county of San Diego, it's very like your Christianity is like, it's like a secret. And like, it's like, you don't get to just kind of talk about Jesus. It's like, people might be like, oh, you're so different. Or how do you stay happy with all these like horrible cases? And then you kind of get to say like that. But now you're in a position where it's like flipped. It's like reversed, where the people that are coming in are those who don't know Jesus, but you get to talk about Jesus all day long and literally be like, we're at a church. There's a sanctuary. You can get saved in that building.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they're at all these conferences where kids are like being transformed and they're seeing all these youth things. And I was talking to Kevin earlier and, you know, we're always talking about like staying on brand and what it means for like the people that are not in this position, you know, like, how does it transfer to like the everyday, like Joe or Janet that are, you know, listening? And I was telling him, I think it's interesting because I'm wondering, for you in your position, dealing with people that don't know the Lord, you know, I'm sure you've probably had people that have worked there that your intention has been that they know the Lord, but maybe they don't, or they still don't, or maybe they're a little more like, look, lady, I just need a job, you know, and like, I just want to work here. Like, I don't want this like Bible stuff. And how do you like maneuver that, you know? Because I mean, like, everyday people have those people in their life too. But how did you maneuver that? And maybe what are some of the things that you have learned in those situations?
Well, most of those people don't stick around very long.
Sure.
Because I think that they either they're ready or they're not type of, you know, it's kind of that thing where we're a family. So that's the way we talk about our department. We're not just a department. We're a family. Right. So it's like when you have a family member and they're like, yeah, I'm here to work. But I don't want to sit and do any of these things that you're doing. I don't want to be a part of your, everybody sits down and eats lunch together at the same time, or I don't want to pray together. I just want to do my job. Mm-hmm. We've had a handful of those that just disappear. They're like, okay, I'm not coming back. And then they just don't show up. But the ones that have stuck around, you know, I can think of one person in particular right now, although he'd been working at the church for years. I think he's been there for about 7 or 8 years. And I think that just over time, you know, just seeing, you know, and watching the transformation of some of his coworkers that were there and they're in that moment and they're on fire for Jesus. I think just him being able to see everybody and what they're going through has really led to him asking more questions. Mm. And so we're just open, and we put that mm-hmm. out there a little bit more. And, you know, there's a couple of us that are what we call leaders on the team. There's a gentleman named Miles Johnson who,
he's been on the show.
Incredible. And he leads a lot of our morning Bible studies, but he is always available to ask, you know, answer questions. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people from the team now that will just go and ask him Bible questions all the time or life questions all the time. And this particular person that I was just talking about is at the point where he wants to get baptized now. He's just ready, you know, like Miles has talked to him and had deep, intense conversations with him. So we just don't stop sharing Jesus. It doesn't matter whether, you know Jesus or you don't know Jesus. Like, it's not something that's going to stop. It's not like at the county where I just couldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
I had one supervisor tell me one time, I know you're a Christian, but you need to leave that at home.
Sure.
And I'm like, no, that's not happening.
Yeah.
So being able to do it here, I remember when I first started working here and Shane was in the hallway with his guitar and he was just singing worship music down the hallway, up and down. And I was like, thank you, Lord. You know, this is where I want to be. Yeah. So not having to hide it now is a different story. Yeah. I think what I've learned over time, though, is you can't push too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you have to, you still have to keep your same standards. You can't, like, you're not going to make exceptions for people because they don't want to pray or they don't know Jesus. Like, you're not going to not do the things that we would do normally. We're still going to include them, but we're not going to push, but we're still going to mm-hmm. have those conversations. We're still going to treat you, you know, the way we would treat anybody else. Yeah.
You don't compromise.
No, I think you push. You just don't force.
Yeah, you don't force. You set a standard and you don't compromise.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have had conversations, you know, and said, like, hey, tell me why. Like, I want to know why. Like, share with me. Tell me why. Like, I want to know how come you don't believe, or why do you have, you know, what are your biggest fears or what are your biggest questions? And if I can't mm-hmm. answer them, I'm going to find somebody who can. Mm-hmm. Some of them are open to talk and some of them are just like, I just don't believe that. And those are usually the ones that leave quicker.
Yeah.
But some of the ones that have questions, like, I'll either buy them a Bible and say, here's the word, you know, or send them a podcast. I've sent Kevin's podcast several people going, listen to this. Listen to this gentleman and what he's been through, you know, 28 years in prison and released and is now living his life as a free man. You know, I've sent some of those podcasts to people and they've come back and gone, wow, like I didn't even know. So whatever tools are out there, try and pull them and find out where people are, you know, just meet them in their space.
Kevin, it's interesting. It's your two favorite evangelism styles. It's the interpersonal relationship and the come and see what the Lord does. And that, I feel like that's really like what you're talking about, is like you get to create these interpersonal relationships with people that don't know the Lord. And then you live your life. They see that and they're interested and they kind of see it because they work at a church and they're interested. And then it's the, like, the let's sit and have a conversation about what's going on in your life. And I feel like back when you were, remember when you were doing, Kevin, like when all the home groups were watching those videos and learning our like evangelistic styles. Mm-hmm. And it was like the testimony, come and see, those things.
I remember you
saying like your two favorite were come and see and interpersonal relationships.
Well, and I think it plays a specific role when somebody comes. Like, we get so many people that are doing community service and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and they start off and they can end up having a job. But the thing is they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
So they're watching to see if you're legit. They're watching to see if you do what you talk. You know, if you're talking, you walk, equal up. That's really true when they come into the church working. But it's also, you know, like Watchman Nee as a book, The Normal Christian Worker. The whole world's watching you at work. And to see if you're legit, if you, once again, live up to the type of things you say, and if you do excellent work, Christians should be the very best workers mm-hmm. in the world. That's a huge part of your testimony. You have a mission statement. Would you call it a mission statement that's on the banner?
It's our mission statement.
And so many times people have mission statements and it, you know, they get them from ChatGPT and they go up on a wall and, you know, you might not see it. You know, they're constantly going back to it. Can you either paraphrase or do you have it memorized?
I don't have it memorized.
You know what? I have a picture of it because I loved it so much and I told you that. This is what it says. I'll read it to you. Foothills Christian Church Facilities and Maintenance Department mission statement. We serve with excellence, humility, and care, creating safe and welcoming spaces where people can encounter God, a family of servants driven by hospitality and faithfulness. And then there's a verse that backs it all up. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. And that's what you're walking out, and everybody's watching.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think it's really cool also that like your team, like it, through that mission statement, I think of like a home, you know, like I always tell people that Foothills is my second home, that it's, I feel like when I walk in there, it's my house. It's, I live there basically. Yeah. And when you go into someone's home, the person that lives there has the potential to create and cultivate an environment that feels welcoming and that feels friendly or that feels cold and sterile. And I think that it's really, really cool that the people on your team, whether they have submitted to the Lord or not, or are on their way, are the ones that are cultivating the environment of what Foothills feels like. Then you get the testimonies. I came to your church and it was the best thing ever. I feel so at home. I feel so welcomed. It's inviting. It's warm. It's joyful. It's energetic. And they're not recognizing that, you know, a lot of the foundation of that is your team doing
what she said.
It's
there's
a team that we're team.
For sure, right?
Yeah, like, you know, I love hearing that the greeters always get a lot of acknowledgement as well, smiles and handshakes and doors opening. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a team effort, like you said. You know, you get a group of people together that love the Lord, or maybe not, but are willing to work in excellence, and it just creates an environment that is, like you said, home.
Yeah,
I think of Foothills as my second home. When I go there and I walk around and I'm looking at things and I'm walking with my team and taking them, all right, guys, like, let's take a look at this room. You know, what's missing in this room, or what's out of place in this room? How do you feel when you come in this room? Like, do you feel welcome and comfortable? Like, those are things that are important when we're doing our job. What does it smell like in here? You know, that's a big one.
That's super cool.
Yeah. One time I walked I walked through the foyer the other day. And I don't know what the smell was, but I was like, what is this? It's so good. I think they had like mopped the floors or something. And I was just like, this is the best. But even like small things. I've known, I said on a podcast before and I always forget his name. But the gentleman that shop vacuums the floors, like that actually washes.
Brad Scott.
Yes. Every time I see him doing that, I'm always like, thank Jesus that you are doing this. I've been here for 18 years. I know what's on those floors. I know the things that have happened. There is like fish carcasses and blended weird anchovy, like, and he's just shampooing it, and that's like, that's his service to it. And it's so helpful. It's so, anybody that's mopping, so helpful. Anybody that's vacuuming, so helpful. They set up the guardrails for the middle school, set them up and take them down.
Yeah.
Like every conference, every meeting, every church meeting, every room meeting. Things that don't even happen on campus, like getting tables for a wedding, for an event. And it's I don't know. I feel like the maintenance team deserves like a plaque.
Shout out to
them. I just think it's incredible that even in that there's a ministry.
Yes.
Inside of that, ministering to the people of that.
Yeah.
Of that. It's just amazing. It's amazing.
And you know what the strange thing is? They do it without complaining.
Or, or maybe without objection.
Yeah.
They do it without complaining. Like you don't You don't hear, why do we have to do that? I don't want to do that. No, they just go, okay. And they do it with joy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just so beautiful to see them do that.
Yeah. And it would be so easy to not be joyful because so many things are just messy. The last minute, they need it done right away. You know what? It took me back to a picture in my mind. And I don't know if I've shared this before, but I got to meet Mother Teresa a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine who was Catholic built a church for her down in Tijuana. And the first time I went down there, because I worked for him, we built health clubs and did that kind of stuff in that part of my life. And there was a guy, as we were walking into a place where I think, you know, the monks lived or something, and he was sweeping the dirt. And I looked at him, and there was such joy on his face, living in Tijuana, having nothing, and sweeping the dirt with excellence. And I thought, Lord, that's how I want to be. Mm-hmm. I want the simplicity and the essence of just serving whatever you put in front of me. And I'm one of the most energetic, unskilled laborers that I know. Because I have very few skills. But that's what I see in your people. And what, you know, like Shane and I will be talking about some crazy evangelism thing and spurring each other on to do other crazy evangelism things. But to work with excellence, like I see coming out. And so you're to be commended for that. And all your people. This is the maintenance crew show.
Yeah.
This is just and celebrating facility. Greatness.
And facility. Yeah.
I get them mixed up. I think they know that I just mix those up. But I want to close this in prayer.
Yeah.
Father, I just thank you for the honor of being part of a family that's genuine. And we're just transparent in who we are, doing the best we can, but being safety nets for each other and rolling up our sleeves together when work is hard. And I just pray for the people that are listening to this episode and they don't have that joy in their job. And I just ask, Father, that you would give them clarity and that you would show them their job through your eyes. And so they would not leave you at home, but they would bring Jesus with them to work every single day. And I ask it in Jesus' name.